you want to leave with you this evening. 2 Samuel chapter 3, take your time, turn up the Old Testament. If you're unfamiliar, still take your time. Go to the index and get the book. There's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like reading the Scriptures. Just one verse that I want to leave with you this evening. Verse 33, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And it says, "And the king," that is David, "lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool died." Let's read that again together. "And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool died." It's a rhetorical question. That means it's answering itself. Abner died as a fool died. That's exactly what it means. Abner died as a fool died. Died Abner as a fool died. Yes. With the Word of God just briefly open before us, let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. Lord, we come now to Thee. Thou art the author. Thou art the giver of every blessing. Thou art the author of the Scriptures of truth. And we need the Spirit of God. We need, Lord, the Holy Ghost this evening. This preacher needs the Holy Ghost. The hearers tonight, the congregation, need the Holy Spirit. And oh, we pray that the Spirit of God will convict men and women, boys and girls, young people of Jesus Christ tonight and the need to be saved. And at the end of the meeting, even before the end, someone will come to Jesus Christ. For we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 3. This is the story of the death of Abner. There's great lamenting over his death. We have been reminded tonight already about the death of Robert's son, a sister. And there's great lament over that. Here's lamenting over the death of Abner. It says in verse 33, "And the king lamented over Abner's death and said, died Abner as a fool died." Says in verse 34, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And it says this, not only did the king lament, not only did the king weep, but it says, all the people wept again over him. Why did they weep over Abner? Can I say that death causes lamentation? You and I were never meant to die. And when death comes, that great king of terrors and that terror of kings, it causes great, great sorrow. But there's particular sorrow here because Abner died as a fool died. That's a horrible, terrible death to die. He was a great man. He was a mighty military man. He was a great commander of the Israelite armies. He had fought a many a battle on the military field. He had organized many a strategy against the enemy. And he had overcome many, many of an enemy. But when it comes to that last great enemy that we all must meet, that great enemy called death, this man had no strategy. This man had no plan. This man was unprepared for death. This man died as a fool. You know, when he died, and he died suddenly, he died tragically, he died unsuspectedly. He died when he didn't think he was going to die. Young people, you'll die as well. I have been a long time in Randall's Town Free Church. And I have buried the little baby. I have buried the little child of 5 weeks of age. I have died the baby 5 months. I have been and attended funerals where the 5-year-old child has died. I have been at funerals where a 16-year-old has died. And she was the only girl in the family. And the young may die as well. The old must die, but the young may die as well. And young person, older person, if they're not saved, you'll go to hell and you'll die as a fool dies. Having their died as a fool dies. When they gathered, all of Israel came. The king came. It was a mighty funeral. I can imagine the procession. I can imagine the military commanders, all the mighty, all the captains, all the noble people were gathered at his funeral service. And I don't know what epitaph they put on his tombstone. Maybe this great commander has done wonderful things. And I don't know what they put on his epitaph, but God puts this. Here's God's epitaph. Here's the writing on the tombstone, Abner died as a fool. That's what God said. I wonder when you die, what will God put on your gravestone? You know, sometimes I think there's more lies told at graves than there is any other place. I have known ministers bury people that were absolute, ungodly, drunkard, wretches, involved in sin, immorality and wickedness, and they have pronounced at the end that they will be resurrected unto everlasting life. You know what the scripture says? If you're not saved, you'll not be resurrected unto life, you'll be resurrected unto damnation. That's what the scripture says. No matter what the preacher may say. This man died as a fool. Why did he die as a fool? Just three simple things that I want to say tonight why he died as a fool. Can I tell you why? Because he failed to face up to reality. People don't like the truth today. Politicians, I say it respectfully, but you're going to hardly believe them. They won't face you up to reality. They'll couch the language in terms that you'll never understand what they're really saying. But this man, you know why he died as a fool? And you know why people die without Christ? Because they will not face up onto reality. Why are you not saved in the meeting? If you're in unsaved, I'll tell you why. Because you'll not face up to reality. Reality. I want you to note, when this man was challenged about his sin, he was offended. He was offended. We have evangelism today, in the year 2006, which doesn't want to offend people. Don't be straightforward with people. Don't offend men and women. Don't just tell them the truth. Well, you know when this man, Abner, was faced with the truth. Look at verse 7 and verse 8 of 2 Samuel chapter 3. And Saul had a concubine. It says that in 2 Samuel 3 verse 7. Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ahai, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? You see, here's Abner, and he's challenged about going in to this woman and having an immoral relationship with her. He's challenged about it. Challenge somebody about their immoral relationship, they don't like it, can I tell you? And then it says, verse 8, then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? You see how angry Abner is. He was involved in a immoral relationship with a woman, and when he's challenged about it, when he's confronted with a sin, he's offended. Lovely to see you nice and dressed this evening. It's good to come to the house of God well dressed. But if we were to pull back and look into your heart and you're not saved tonight, I'll tell you something. Let me tell you, your heart is black with sin. Do the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Who can know? Do you know what the Bible says? It says this about us, and that includes Philip Millen in this pulpit. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in thy sight. What does that mean? I tell you what that means. Everything that we do right. Everything that we do right. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If I had the original Hebrew, I can tell you something. I couldn't describe what the original Hebrew means about the word filthy. And that's what your heart's like. That's what my heart's like. And if that's what our righteousness, those things that we do right, are filthy rags in God's sight, what about the things that are unrighteous? What are the things about that are unright? How do they appear before God? You know why people are not coming to Christ today? Because they don't recognize their sinners. And people don't want to face up to that reality. Can I tell you something? Your sin will take you to hell. People get offended. I remember going back many, many years. I don't see Mel, but wherever he is anyway. Him and I used to be in the doors in school room here. Remember knocking a door. And a man came to the door. And we began to talk to him about the Lord. I said, you know you're a sinner. He started rolling up his sleeve. And I could see what was coming. So I stood behind Melva. You know Melva's a wee man. Sorry, Eileen. I tell you something. He didn't like what was said. I can remember being in the doors in Randall's Town, you know, went out the door, and there was three of us, and we began to talk to the man about the Lord, about being saved, and about him being a sinner. He didn't roll up his sleeves. He lifted his feet, and he hit us. He hit us. You know, people don't like to be told they're sinners. And they're offended. You know, if I offend you tonight, but as big as your Christ, then praise the Lord. I don't care. I remember going to a hospital. Time the Waveney was open before the Antrim Hospital was into being. And this person who belonged to my church, and they said, would you go and visit a cousin of mine? I said, yes, that's okay. I'll visit the cousin. As long as the cousin has made it all right. Because sometimes, you know, when free Presbyterians go to visit somebody, people don't like it. I made it clear that I would be all right if I went. And she said, yes, okay, you go and visit my cousin. I went down to the Waveney. I went in to visit this lady. She was about 60 years of age, and I began to talk to her about the Lord. And then I began to challenge her about getting saved, because the cousin that told me, who had sent me, said she wasn't saved. So I began to challenge her about getting saved. And she said, excuse me, Mr. Millen, don't talk to me about those things in here. When I get out of hospital, you can talk to me, you can come and visit me. I said, that's okay. Do you mind if I read the scriptures and pray with you? She said, that's all right. Read and pray with me. I read and I prayed. She said, I'll be out in a few days, you can come and visit me. A week went by. I asked the cousin how she was doing. She said, she's still in hospital. She said, would you go in and visit her again? I said, okay. So I went in to visit her, and I again got the conversation around. After asking her about her medical condition, asked her about the Lord. Was she healed? She said, Mr. Miller, did I not tell you, don't talk to me about those things in here. When I get out, and I'll be out in a few days, you can talk to me about that then. And you know what she did? She just turned her back. She turned right around on the bed, turned her back on me. Wouldn't speak to me. So I just reached right over the top of her. And I said, do you mind if I read the scriptures and pray? She said, that's okay, you can do that. So I did that. Tuesday, the next week, I got a telephone call. This lady has been moved into the intensive care. Into the intensive care. And the cousin that first sent me said, come quickly. You need to go down quickly. She's very ill. She hoped to get out, and she hoped to talk to me about those things, but she was getting worse. She wouldn't face up to reality. She wouldn't face these things. And when I went into the hospital, all the relatives were gathered and they were shaking their heads. And this cousin, I met her, and she said, come on in. They said, it's too late. It's too late. And we went to the intensive care unit. We pressed the wee buzzer. And the nurse came out and said, look, hold on a moment. The doctors are fighting for her life. The nurses are with her. Could you wait there? We sat at least half an hour, maybe more. And the doors kept, they were, these moving doors, you could see they were fighting frantically with this woman. But after a wee while, one of the nurses came out and said, look, she's responded to the treatment. You can go in and visit. I went in with the cousin in to visit her. There she was conscious, fully aware that we were there. And this cousin went forward and began to talk to her, spoke to her and said, look, you know, I've got the Reverend Millen with me. Do you mind if he talks with you? She says, if the Reverend Millen, she said, you know, I want to talk to him. And I went forward and I talked to her. And she said, you know, I'm glad you've come. I said, you know, I spoke to you about the Lord and I spoke to you about getting saved. And she said, Mr. Millen, lead me to Christ. Lead me to Christ. I opened the Bible. I showed her how she could get saved if she called on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, in that bed, she cried to God to save her. And Christ entered in and she got saved. And the tears ran down her cheek. And her cousin rushed forward and embraced her, and her tears were in her eyes. And she said, I'm saved. I'm born again. Later on that evening, that dear soul entered into God's eternity. But that dear soul was saved and with Christ. I wonder tonight, will you face up to reality? Abner died as a fool died because he wouldn't face up to his sin. I want you to note something else in 2 Samuel chapter 3. He wanted his sin overlooked, verse 8. You know it says in verse 8, then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth and said, am I a dog's head? You see, when he's challenged about his sin, he says, what do you think I am? Am I a dog? A lot of people seem to think that today. Don't you tell me I'm a sinner. Don't you buttonhole me and tell me that I'm going to hell. Well, I'll tell you what the scripture says. If you're not saved and you're not born again, you're going to hell. You know what happens here? This man, he was angry at verse 8. And then he said this, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, and to his brethren, and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman. You know what he says? Imagine you boys coming to me and accusing me of sin. He says, don't you know what I've done for Israel? I have delivered this land. I've been a great captain. All the things that I have done, do you never take them into consideration? A lot of people say that to me today, you know. They say, well, you know, I know you need to be saved and all that, but I've never done anything really bad. I haven't gone out and shot somebody. I go to church. I say my prayers. I pay £100 in the pound. I'm a good neighbor. I do nobody no harm. I know I'm not saved, but you know, the Lord will let me in. He looked at all my goodness. And somehow, he'll open the door. I know you need to be saved, but I'm not born again. But nevertheless, when God considers all my goodness, he let me in. I can tell you something. You're not weighed in man's balances. You're not weighed in the balances of the church. People say to me, I'm catechized. I'm baptized. I can tell you something. If one has got you in to heaven, then Christ died in vain. You know, Uncle Trevor believed that water could get people into heaven. It would have a big sprinkling system outside the tent. And it would get everybody baptized as they go in. It's not water. Makes you a bit wet, but not any better. Some people say to me, but I have my name on the communion roll. You might as well have it on a message roll. Your name needs to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. This man was offended. This man not only was offended, but he thought his sin could be overlooked. You know, tonight we're weighed in the balances of God. A lot of people in Korean, you know. They fill the churches on a Sunday morning. And you know, those churches combined can't hardly even get a congregation in the evening. If they go once on a Sunday, they tell you, I've been to church today. Somehow church attendance will get them into heaven. I'll tell you what church attendance will do. It will take you to hell if you've never been saved. It's good to come to church. It's good to come to a gospel preaching church. But the most important thing is this, that you're born again and you're washed in the blood of Christ. You know what the Bible says? God requireth that which has passed. And if you're not saved, God will not overlook your sins. This man failed to face up to reality. I want you to note something else. He failed to recognize his danger. That's why he died as a fool. That's why he died. You know why people are dying as fools today? Because they failed to recognize their danger. What do you mean? What do I mean by that? Well, can I tell you this? Abner had an arch enemy. His name was called Joab. This man, Joab, was chasing Abner. And can I tell you something? Abner knew all about it. You see, what Abner had done, unintentionally, he had killed a man called Asahel. And Asahel was the brother of Joab. And Joab was going to avenge the blood of his brother Asahel. And the one that killed Asahel was Abner. And you know, Joab was going to chase him to the death. And Abner knew all the time that Job was after him. Can I say this tonight? There's a chase on for you. You've got an enemy tonight. That enemy is called death. And that enemy will chase you until it eventually gets you. It's called, death is called the terror of kings and the king of terrors. And that death chase is relentless. Can I tell you one thing we're certain about in this life? We will die. And this man, Abner, failed to recognize his danger. He failed to recognize that Job was going to avenge the blood of his brother and he was going to slay Abner. But there was a place that Abner could flee to and he would escape this judgment. But Abner didn't know. Some of you, or you're maybe young, you think you're never going to die. Turn to the obituary column tomorrow and read. And how often will you read the obituary column, died suddenly, died unexpectedly? You know, I was just thinking this evening, 94 years ago, was it? One of the greatest vessels that ever left Harland Wolff Shipyard was called the Titanic. The word Titanic comes from Titan, the sun, the ancient sun god, the Greek sun god, meaning one gigantic in size and gigantic in power. And the Titanic was the vessel of all vessels. Wednesday the 10th of April 1912 at 11:45, she began her maiden voyage. She was going to cross to America. The shipbuilders had announced the vessel to be unsinkable. She had double bottom and 16 watertight compartments. Some of the crew said this about her. They challenged God, actually. They didn't realize it. But you know what they said? Some of the crew said, God himself cannot sink her. That's what they said. And I say this, some of you think you're unsinkable. You know, when you're young, you're full of vigor. You're full of energy. You think nothing's going to happen. Some of you need to face up to the reality that you could die, and you could die suddenly. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, Sunday night, the 14th of April, 1912, 94 years ago, She was sailing full speed ahead. You know, the ship had got several warnings. The ship had got several warnings. A man called Phillips, the chief wireless operator, had received 5 warnings that day of icebergs nearby, but the warnings were unheeded. And you know, the captain said, "Full steam ahead! Some of you have been warned." You know, all around us we see death. And young people, think of the car tragedies. Think of the accidents. Life at best is very brief. The ship sailed off. You know, when she struck the iceberg, you know, some of the people on deck, they didn't even believe then that she was going to sink. They didn't believe it. You know what they did? They got the ice and they made snowballs and they began to have snowball fights. They didn't believe she was going down. 2 miles below them was the depth of the sea and they were going to be lost, but they didn't believe it. Some of you don't believe that you're going to die. Some of you believe or be tricked by the devil and deceived that somehow you're going to get a chance. You know, we're just talking to Robert. You know, in the dying moments, you're so taken up fighting for love. So much so you're struggling to survive that you don't think about God. You know, the band played. You know what they played? They were playing "Roll Out the Barrel." "We're having a barrel of fun." And then it suddenly dawned on them. Ship was going down. And the bandmaster said, "Let's play another tune. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee." I'll tell you something. When life begins to ebb from the bottom. I have noticed people, you know, who are full of unbelief in their health and strength and they're young. And when they're facing the reality of death, I'll tell you, it changes. But for some folks, you're young tonight and ready. You need to turn to Christ. Time is gone almost. Look what it says. Why did he die? As a fool? Because he failed to face up to reality. Because I'll tell you one thing. He didn't recognize the danger that he was in. This man Job was after him. Look at verse 27, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Why did Abner die as a fool? Can I tell you something? He failed to prepare for the day of his death. Look at verse 27, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And then Abner was returned to Hebron. Joab, notice what it says. Joab, this is the man that was after him, took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Can you see it? Job is going to kill him. And he brings Abner to the side. And he says, "I want to speak to you. I want you to come a few moments aside." He says, "I want to speak to you." Know what he did? Look what it says. And he smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel's brother. That word quietly, you know what it means in verse 27? It means unsuspectingly. You see, Abner didn't expect to die. People don't expect to die. You know, I've gone to bedsides and people have been the 90th year. And they're drawing the last breath and they don't expect to die. Nobody expects to die. But death comes unexpectedly. I remember years and years ago in the heights of the trouble, 3 policemen in Cushendall area were blown in their, up almost to smithereens in their car, but they survived. One was critically injured. He was taken to the Royal. The other 2 were taken to the Waverley in Ballymena. I knew them. I went in to visit them Friday. I can remember it. And I spoke to this man, and I knew he had been talked to about the Lord, and I knew he needed to be saved. He was a policeman. They were just thankful that they were alive. They were thankful they were alive. They had broken bones. They had bruises. But you know, they were alive. And they knew they were alive. And they were going to get better. That's what they told me. And I challenged this man about getting right with the Lord. He showed me a letter that he'd got from a woman in Ballymoney who had written to him.
a girl called Graham. Some of you will know her. She writes to these folks. And she wrote a letter of encouragement saying that God was merciful and spared them. And I said, you know, you need to get saved. She said, I know. I said, what about getting right with God? He says, you know, I have to go to Belfast. I have to go to get some joints operated on, a few pins for them. And he says, I'm going on Monday. This is Friday. I'm going on Monday. He says, I'll think about it then. He says, I'm so shook up. I need to get right then. He says, wait. That was Friday. They put him through the operation on the Monday. And as they were putting him through the operation, the clot went from his injuries to his heart. He died on the operating table. This man here, Abner, died as a fool. Why? Because he didn't make preparation. I wonder tonight, what about you? Will you die as a full-time? If you fail to make preparation to die without Christ, you'll die as a full-time. Let's pray together. Not having a closing hymn this evening, I'll be at the door at the end of the meeting. If we could be of any help to you, I'd be glad to talk to you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Whatever you'd like to talk to us,